and glad to decided to come to be with us. Yay! Shows that maturity. I'm glad we're all here together. We're going to be in the book of Jude. And so for this morning, there was kind of a prep. We did a kind of a summary of the book in class. And I'm going to take about 5 minutes of my lesson time to kind of review that summary a little bit, just real quick. And then so you'll have the basis of where I'm going to go with this lesson at the close of the book of Jude. So I'm going to read through this wonderful book. If you've never studied Jude, it's a great book. And as I shared with the class this morning, that if you, and I kind of try to bring it out like if you didn't know anything about the Old Testament, I believe it would motivate, Jude's motivated us to know more about the Old Testament. And we're really remiss, lacking, if we don't have a biblical knowledge, not just the first five books. They're the most adventurous, and a lot of them, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the books of Moses, the Torah. But from there on, so much richness. And what Jude does in this very short letter is to bring out the emphasis using portions of the Old Testament to teach us about the false teachers that can just intermingle with us and tear us apart and has torn the church apart just through the centuries in time from the Israeli church, I'll call it the Hebrew church, the Jews up until Christianity. So share with me and I'll read this book. This is from the New American Standard. So it might be quite a bit different if you're using the NIV or the Old King James. That was where I learned Old King James when I was little. So, but I'm going to read from this one. Ed Wharton coerced me to switch to New American Standard. I like it. Okay. Jude, bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father and kept in Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, that was his purpose, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long before marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons, mark that word in your minds, ungodly, who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Now I desire to remind you, though you know all things once for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe, and angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Yet in the same manner, these men also by dreaming defile the flesh and reject authority and revile angelic majesties. But Michael, the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals. By these things they are destroyed. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Babel, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These men are those who are hidden reefs in your love feasts, when they feast with you without fear, caring only for themselves. Clouds without water, carried along by the winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam, wandering stars for whom the blackness of darkness has been reserved forever. And about these also Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy angels, holy ones, to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, finding fault, following after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, in the last time there shall be mockers, following after their own ungodly lusts. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying by or with or in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some, have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen." What a book. What a book. It's not just book 65, okay? It's a great epistle. Short as it is, it says volumes. And again, I'll give a very quick brief summary. First of all, he's writing, this is Jude, the brother of James, the brother of Jesus. So therefore, James, a Jew, the brother of Jesus. Growing up, Mary would have called him Judah, because that was the Hebrew form of his name. The Greek is Jude. He writes to those who are called, to the saints, for the church, to bring this in. And again, if you heard all those names in those scenarios, Sodom, Gomorrah, Korah, Balaam, all of these, even Moses, and you need to know the Old Testament. Otherwise, it would just go right above your head and say, "Well, I know what he's writing about, and I imagine it's pretty good." But if you know the Old Testament, and he assumes that. Did you notice he said that you know these things? You know these things. But those who don't have understanding, they may have heard those things, but don't know or believe those things. That's the point of these false teachers. They're motivated by greed or by lust, and we see it about us. And it's such a wonderful thing here in our fellowship. It's not an indictment against the church here, because we have a growing fellowship. We always have to be aware. We always have to be warned. And then we have to be, as Jude has asked us to be, contenders for the faith, willing to stand up for the truth, even if it meant certain death. So I'll share that. He sends a greeting by saying mercy, peace, and love. He expands on many of the other epistles that Paul writes. He would give charis, grace, and shalom, peace. But here, he gives mercy, unmerited favor, and peace, shalom, and then love. And again, I didn't look it up whether it's the agape love, the brotherly love, I meant to. But we are, and it's in what's called the command mode. If you study English, you know what I'm talking about. In the command mode, to contend for the faith, because of the rest of most of the letter, those who would infiltrate purposely the church. And he gives examples of these ungodly. Notice that six times in this little short 25 verses, six times that he says these are ungodly, four times just in the quote from First Enoch. He describes things from the past, They're like those who died in the wilderness during those 40 years when the 10 spies came in and said, "We can't do it." But the other two knew God would do it. God had, and these were folks that had experienced the 10 plagues and experienced the Red Sea dividing, experienced God blessing them and fighting for them. And still, they just saw walls and giants and armies and said, "We just can't do this. We're a bunch of rock builders and whatevers," you know. And so they didn't believe. And then Jude says they're like the fallen angels, and that description is given in Isaiah and elsewhere, and also in First Enoch. And I'll mention that, maybe motivate you to read it. It's not one of the canonical books. It's not part of our Bible, but good literature to learn from, and also quoted from. Jude saw the reason to quote verse 9 from First Enoch. And then he mentioned Sodom and Gomorrah. And we know what brought down Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot chose to go into that valley, and then that valley would be destroyed, except for one city spared. But that it was because of licentiousness, homosexuality, and things, and I won't get into that, but the things that happened there when the two angels entered, they didn't want to hear the word of God. They didn't want to have a blessing. They wanted them. And so that just showed that immorality and civilization has fallen to that many times. These men reject godly authority. The godly authority is given to us through the word of God to trust and obey Jesus Christ and the teachings and the teachings of the apostles. And so these examples are given on reasoning animals like Cain, and we know who Cain was, killed his brother Abel, like Balaam, and he's just not a man that beats his donkey. He's a man that was a prophet of God that was told three times to curse the Israelites. Three times he blessed the Israelites. You read, it's almost comical. King of Moab was so angry, and that was the king of Malachi, so I'm not correct there, but that he was angry because he paid Balaam to do that. Balaam then still hurts Israel by giving the king advice. And like Korah in Numbers chapter 16, that corrupted the people after, in chapter 15, many were killed because of rebellion. Korah raises another rebellion. That's, you know, if it doesn't work the first time, don't try a second time. And then they were killed and many were taken down. They're like hidden reefs. We mentioned in class, they don't care for themselves, clouds without rain. That's Midland, Texas a lot of times, right? I had to say that in class because, you know, it'll rain, cats and dogs. We were blessed with rain last week, so I shouldn't use this example. But yes, we were, and I'm thankful for it. But, you know, Odessa a lot of times get a rain and then we're like, oh, here it comes, and the clouds go over, and then Stanton gets rain. You know, Big Spring gets showers, but we're blessed, and so appreciate that. Trees without fruit, I'll go on. I like the West Texas winds, right? And so they're uprooted. They have no roots. They have no foundation. They're like wild waves, uncontrolled. They're shameful. They're like wandering stars. Again, six times they're called ungodly. They're grumblers, fault finders, lustful, arrogant, flatterers for the sake of gain. Well, we see it around us. We see it with individuals trying to coerce themselves into the church, and have seen it. We have worked with many churches, and you know them by their fruit. Know them by the way that what they teach. If it's not from the Bible, stands firm in the word of God, then it's not true. Don't allow someone to turn you away. Now, purpose of this lesson for the time given, what do we do about it? What does Jude tell us to do about it? First, of course, in verse 3, contend for the faith. Stand up. And we sing that song, stand up. You know, you can sit down. But stand up for Jesus, right? We're to do that. And in order to contend for the faith, you have to have knowledge of the faith, right? Not just an empty, you know, I believe, and then just live on the milk of the word. No, to get into the meat of the word, no matter who you are, no matter what your discipline in life is, whatever frailties you may have, just fill it in with the word of God. If you're not a good reader, I have a good, very good friend, dear friend, he's from Brazil, that really doesn't read very well at all. I actually, when I'm with him, I read his text form sometimes. But very wisely, these phones today, you push and you can listen, right? I read for him a lot of times. But sometimes books or other things don't speak out loud like your phones. And I told him, just hear the Bible. Bring it up on your phone and listen. He does that when he's driving. He's a long-distance driver, hundreds of miles every day. And he listens to God's word. And he attends the church, the Highway 80 Church of Christ in Big Spring. And I'm thankful for that. He was not a member of the church. We need to, verse 3, stand confident, boldness in our faith, and grow in that faith. You know, read elsewhere, 1 Peter talks about growing in our faith, growing in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, growing. That's predicated through the Bible, learning more about God, more about Jesus, what I know, what I learn, what I need to have within me, within our hearts. And then he tells us, and this is the emphasis in verse one portion in verse 19, no, verse 20. Let me see where I put it out here. Verse 5, sorry. To grow in our memories of what we've learned, to remind us, though you know the things, that the Lord, after saving the people, and then these examples, to learn from those examples. That's what Paul writes. He says, I love my brethren. And they've gone through all these experiences, and yet they need to learn from the mistakes. Don't we do that in business or whatever we do, whether we're a teacher, whether you're a fireman, but you know, whatever your background, to learn from our mistakes. Don't just repeat them again and again and again and expect different results. That's actually very scientific, right? To try different things. One of the persons I love to read about is Edison and the people he surrounded himself with, great minds. And their experiments had to do with trying all the different things to start a phonograph, to do the light bulb. Yeah, I don't give him all the credit, but so many things that now bless us in the scientific world, the same thing, learning from the Bible, learning and growing in it. To remember the writings of the apostles, verse 19, and from Peter, Paul, John. I'd like to read a few. I'm going to go backwards a little bit. If you'd like to turn back with me. Didn't put it up here, and I'm sorry. I'm not literate enough to put everything up there. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Listen to the words of 1 John chapter 1, 1 through 4. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have beheld with our hand, and our hands handled, concerning the word of life, concerning Jesus. This is John writing, right? John was with Jesus from the very beginning of the ministry, stood at the cross at the end of the ministry, was first, other than the women, to the tomb with Peter, and a proclaimer of the gospel. He says, what all this that we've experienced, verse 2, and the life was manifested, made known, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. Isn't it joyous like baptism we had? That's when he just builds us up, not just saying, oh, but one more. No. It's a new life, a new creation, as Greg says, brought into the family, brought into the fold. What a blessing. And that's what John's, this beginning, he says, we've experienced these things and we want you to experience, even though you can't walk with Jesus in the flesh, but you can walk with Jesus in the spirit. God is making that known to us through writers like John. I just turn ahead, still in 1 John, to chapter 2, 1 through 7. My little children, I am writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we all sin, fall short. We have an advocate. What a great piece of news if you didn't know that, right? Here's the good news of the day. All right, messed up yesterday. Messed up this morning. Spilled the coffee. No, but whatever you did, that's not, it is sin. I love God. But the thing is, we have an advocate. That's what John is saying. Remember, you have an advocate. And who is it? It's the Father and Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And he himself is in our stead, our propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours only, but also for those, the whole world. You know, when you read, to me, the pivotal statement in the book of Mark is, Jesus came to save and to seek all the lost. Not just percentage. You know, not in some teaching. Jesus came to save 10,000 or 50,000 or 100,000. I once had a man tell me that in America. I said, well, if it's already full and you teach me and I become a better, stronger believer than you, are you out? He just kind of looked at me kind of dazed. He did. You know, it's a true story. They're like, I don't know about that. So like, okay, well, then you better be careful. If you bring in X amount, you might be kicked out of the many thousands. So anyway, that's true. That's true. And by this, verse 3, I'll continue with John's writing. By this, we know. I love that with John. It's not like, might be, maybe so. You know, the old yes, no, maybe so. No, we know this, that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. It's predicated upon doing what God wants us to do and to obey the gospel in the first place and to live it. Verse 4, the one who says, I've come to know him. So this is like the ones, it really is kind of a touch on for what Jude is saying. The one who says, I know him, but doesn't keep his commandments. That person is a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. See, that's what makes us complete. You know, we read in Leviticus, be holy for I'm holy. But the people so many times fell short. Moses wasn't even perfect. And yet, God was with Moses. Moses did what God said. Moses is blessed. That's why we know it. That's the Mount of Transfiguration. I said that in class. That he had a privilege to be to see and brought down for a time from his station, I'll say, in heaven, to come down to see Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. What a blessing. Look at verse 5 with me. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. How do we know it? By reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John again and again to learn how Jesus walked, how Jesus talked, how Jesus defended himself, and yet when he was taken to the cross, that he did the opposite. He didn't revile anyone. He didn't curse anyone. But what he did was allow them. And you talk about a defense. You know, we sing the song, could have called 10,000 angels. I know I use this analogy a lot. He didn't even need to call one. He could have ended what he started. The entire earth. He could have taken out the Jerusalem. He could have taken out all of Israel. He could have taken out the world. He chose not to do it. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't need it. That's what I often say. Turn with me also to 2 Peter. I'm going backwards here. 2 Peter, and I look with you, or please look with me, at his introduction in chapter 1. 2 Peter, I'm going to find 2 Peter. My 1 Peter, that wouldn't work. This book's getting kind of falling apart. I think that's a good thing. 2 Peter, chapter 1, Simon Peter. A servant or slave or bondservant and apostle Jesus Christ to those us who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us, see what he's telling us here, the salvation he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, that's what Jude intended to write. Common salvation. What John wrote, what Peter here wrote, what Paul writes in so many of his letters. But Peter closes his part by saying you've left that corruption. What Jude is writing about is the corruption that Satan tries to infiltrate into the church. Going back to the book of Jude, Turn with me, if you would. This latter part, and there's the crux of the lesson is here, and rest it will be yours, that what we do, how we overcome. First, we said in verse 3, contending for the faith. But look with me in verse 20, but you, beloved. Here's the crux of the matter. Here, now there's the problem. Those guilty ones, those ungodly ones. He says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, grow in your faith. Pray by, and I love this word here. It's either in, by, or in, or through the Holy Spirit, who guides us, who indwells us when we obey the gospel, and who then is our intermediary with Jesus, our advocate, before the throne of God, that we pray. He's saying, pray in the Spirit. Keep yourselves, verse 21, in the love of God. Immerse yourselves, if you will, in God's love. Waiting anxiously, I say this word in a patient way. Lord, I want it now. Waiting just anxiously, though, desiring. John closes Revelation with three very short words. Lord, come quickly. Of course, he was on the Isle of Patmos. Probably if I was on an island like that, if you know about it, it was a terrible, it was the junkyard, if you will, a prison island. Kind of be like Rikers Island, I guess, or something of that nature. And that he was there, I would probably be praying, but he meant it for all the church, for everyone. Lord, come quickly. That should be our heart. And keep yourselves one God. Sorry. Have mercy on some who are doubting. And then verse 23, many of the books close with this. Say, remember the cross. Jesus was accosted by some who knew what Jesus had done because they said, he has saved others. How did they hear that? How did they know that? Well, they knew what happened with Jesus. He had saved others. They may not have known everyone, the little, Jairus' daughter. They may not have known all those things when he was outside of Judah or outside of Galilee. But they said, he saved others. Let's see him save himself. But he didn't for our sake. But we are called on to save others, to tell others the good news, to proclaim the day of the Lord. The prophets say it in the Old Testament many times, and to guide them, to help them, save others, snatching them out of the fire. Daniel closes with that. Blessed is the one who teaches. Now you don't have to be a teacher, you don't have to be a preacher, but tell the neighbor, tell your coworker. Even if they say, I don't want to hear about it anymore, try one more time. Right? You say, just come on, come to church, come and visit, come to my house for a cup of coffee. I just want to visit. Okay, snatching them out of the fire. And some had that mercy with fear. You show mercy and do it in a way, not fear, like afraid of it, but fear in a reverent way. Hating even the garment polluted by the flesh, kind of goes back ways a little bit. And then Jude closes with this prayer. Verse 24 and 25. Now to him, see, God gets the glory. God gets the acclamation, the confirmation that we know that it's God working through us. We're only lights because Jesus is the light of the world. We're only salt to salt the earth because Jesus brought in. I can't think of an analogy for salt, but you know what I mean. The aspect of teaching and others to teach others to teach others to grow. The effect like salt can have in the food, okay? To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand, help us, if you will, to stand in the presence of his glory, blameless. There it is. Blameless is so many aspects of completeness and wholeness because God sees us blameless through the blood of Christ. What a gift. What a gift we have. With great joy. We're not happy about that. We need to reread and rethink. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Then there's four descriptions here. Many times in the book of Revelation, there's four descriptions when God is being praised. Glory, majesty, dominion, and authority. If we give over to God those four, then we're in the right path, the right way. We're right before God. He says, before all time and now and forever and amen. We can stand by.